Okay, this Shabbos we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayeshev, which of course begins, Vayeshev Yaakov Beretz Migureyav. If Yaakov lived in the place where his father lived, why is it the unique description of Eretz Yisrael, Migureyav? Rav Shata Shlita used to explain to us that Yaakov began with the same mission in life as his father, being an Or LaGoyim, being a light unto the nations. However, when Yaakov saw that Mitaso Shlema, that his bed was complete, he realized that he didn't need to convert outsiders to his religion, and this is an idea that Rosh Hashanah quoted to us from the Meshech Chachma. Instead, he says Rosh Hashanah to us, Yaakov's new focus was to be that which the Ramban noted was to be an Or LaGoyim, by being a family to look up to. Not that we have to convert the regulars, but rather what we have to do is build ourselves, and people will look to us as guides. So, of course, unfortunately, Yosef, the episodes of Yosef came up, and the brothers, left him behind. And Yaakov tells him, Halo achecha roim b'shchem. And Rashi notes that Shchem is not a good place. They sold Yosef there, they attacked Dinah and Shchem is where the Malucha splits. So Rabbi Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, Zechet Tzadok Levracha, notes that the order of the Gemara is out of order. Dinah was attacked before Yosef was sold. So why does the Gemara put Yosef before Dinah? And so Rav Kornitzer answers that in Dinah's attack, the brothers united. It was only with the selling of Yosef, where they were divided, that it became apparent that the division was there, even in the attack on Dinah, which left them open to the tragedy of Shechem. So it's Yosef first, because that was the Gilui. We're told that when he was traveling there, Vayimsa'eyu Ish, that a man found him. And Rashi tells us that this time the Ish was the angel Gavriel. Now, last week, when we said Vayavik Ishimo, that was identified as Saro Shel Esav, as the angel of Esav. So how are we supposed to know which Ish is good and which one is evil? So the Sanzer Rebbe Zatzal explains that when we check into what the Ish is trying to do, we'll figure it out. When he attempts to do chesed, he's Gavriel. But when he's busy trying to kill you, he's likely from a bad source, hence the Saro Shel Esav. And we can see the same being said about evaluating the motives of people and what consumes them too. If they're moving in the right direction, it's a good thing for us. If it's not, so it's a dangerous thing. We're told the manat is, so Yehudas, Reuven says, put him into the pit, manat zilo somi adam, shivo al avivsa, that he might save himself from his hands. Right? So he might save Yosef from his hands. And the Medrash notes that had Reuven known the positive things that would be said about him, he would have moved even faster. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal adds that the same should be noted about us. We tend to think that our actions are without purpose. But we should know that Eliyahu HaNavi and the Melech HaMashiach are involved in the recording of our good deeds, and Hashem is signing off on them. And this comment is similar to that of Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk Zatzal, who notes that when we say that until I, Ad Shelo Notzarti Eini Kedai, refers to the fact that until our proper time in history to exist came, we didn't deserve to live yet. After the episode of selling of Yosef, we're told, Vayirid Yehuda Me'esachav, Yehuda left his brothers. Now Rashi explains the brothers held him responsible for the selling of Yosef and the trauma that it caused their fathers. And the question has to be asked, like, bottom line, boys, what did the brothers, why did they hold Yosef responsible, Yehuda responsible, and not themselves? They were all culpable in the selling. So the great Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Ezrachi Shalita explains that this is the responsibility that comes along with the power of assuming the mantle of leadership. Clearly, Yehuda had the influence over the others. And so hence, when they debated killing Yosef, he was able to sway them to merely selling him. But his influence would have also likely been persuasive enough to let Yosef off the hook. He didn't go that far. And for that reason, he's held more responsible by the brothers, because he didn't follow through on his opportunities 100%. We go back after the Yehuda and Tamar episode to the episode of Yosef and Mrs. Potiphar. We're told, Vayazo Bigdobi Adav Ayanas Vayetze Achutza, he left his clothes out in her hands and he ran outside. Now, why does the Torah use the double verb Vayanas and Vayetze? So Sforno notes that he ran away from her, but when he got outside, he just kept on walking. And the Torah wants us to contrast the running away from the Avera from the continued movement that happened beyond. Rav David Parvarsky, late Panovich Rosh Hashiva Zatzal, added that when we run away, we still need to have our wits about us and know why and where we're going. When we're running from an Avera, our running is purposeful, but otherwise it's not really just a good idea to run and run and run, because we wind up going without any wits. We wind up running ourselves ragged and getting nowhere, or worse. Yosef finds himself in prison towards the end of the parsha, and he meets up with the Sarah Mashkim and the Sarah Ofim, and he asks them, Madua Pneichem Roim Hayom, why are your faces so sad? And Ramban says that the reason that Yosef was so assertive was because he had the confidence in his ability to interpret correctly. So Reb Henoch Leibowitz Hatzal asked, why was Yosef's self-confidence so praiseworthy? We know others who are quite self-confident. And Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky explained that there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. One comes from a person knowing his or her talents and strengths and being comfortable with them. The other is actually a lack of self-confidence. And so therefore we know about the conceit and the arrogance. Finally, in the Haftorah, we're told, for the three sins, I can forgive an Israel, al arba lo ashivenu, but for the fourth I won't. Michram bekesef tzaddik, for they sold a tzaddik for money. You know, Rav Teitz Shalita used to quote his father, Rav Pinchas Teitz Atzal, who utilized this pasuk, al michram bekesef tzaddik, when he utilized Rav Aaron Cutler's Atzal. He noted that the Gon didn't falter based on the responsibilities of teaching Torah. Rather, it was the crushing need to take care of the financial needs of his students in the yeshiva and the constant fundraising that it entailed. It was, as Chazal said, al michram bekesef tzaddik. His tzidkus was taken for the money. That's why we don't have a Rav Aaron. What an incredible thought. Our Gedolei Yisrael give so much of their own selves. They give their literal lives for us to be able to benefit from the Torah life that's around us. Ashrinu Matol Chalkeinu, and we should appreciate them and their sacrifice and use it as an inspiration so that they can continue to give on behalf of Am Yisrael. Shabbat Shalom to all.